Genesis 2 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground." Everybody say, formed.
Formed.
Then the next part of the text says, "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Everybody say, breathed. "And man became a living being." Everybody say, become.
Become.
I want to talk to you this morning from this block of text. This block of text. It's a very simple block of text. One that we may have more familiarity with than we do an understanding of. Because again, when church is a regular way of life, you become familiar with certain scriptures. But as we always say, we're not after familiarity, we're after being educated. And even when we're being motivated, I believe that the path of motivation ought to be paved with education, so that you're not motivated on the false premise, so that even your motivation is backed with a knowledge, and that knowledge is fused faith that we have in God. And so pardon me for using so familiar a passage of scripture, but from this text that simply illustrates the creation, I want to talk to you, and I want you to tell somebody, breathe again.
Breathe.
Some of you didn't tell anybody that. I see you. I'm right here. These glasses work really good. Got a fresh pair of batteries in them. So turn to a real person. Don't look down. There's nobody down there at your feet. Hopefully not. Look at a real person. Look them in the face. If you can't stand the person on your right, look to the person on your left, and then say a prayer for the person on your right and tell them to breathe again. We're going to talk about breathe again, living beyond mere existence in 2018. Breathe again. As I said, this is familiar, but not as many are as informed or may not be as educated on what's familiar about this text. But as many of you can plainly see, this is a text that's a beginning text and about creation. One of the first things we learn about the God we serve, before we learn that he's good all the time and all the time God is good, before we learn he's a healer, before we learn he's a deliverer, before we learn of any of those attributes about God that demonstrate what he's able to do and how he's able to perform, one of the first things we are introduced to God is that he is creative, creator. That is his initial introduction to scripture. For the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, "In the beginning, God created." Everybody say created. And there are words used for created in the Hebrew Old Testament, but because we speak English, I'm not going to exhaust time getting into the Hebrew, but there's a word used for the word create, which means to pull out of nothing. Scholars use the term ex nihilo, and all that is a fancy other language way of saying ex means out of, nihilo means nothing. It simply means that God's creation is out of nothing. He has an out of nothing creation. It means that God spoke and his words heard his will. Y'all got to hear me in here. His words heard his will. And the human experience, we need an intermediate. We need someone, a go-between, between our words and our will being fulfilled. If my keys were over there and my kids were sitting there, or my wife is sitting there, I might have to ask my wife, "Can you pass my keys?" Now watch this. She now has to make the decision whether or not she's going to pass my keys. She's the middle person. My words came out, landed on her, and now she has to make the decision to do it. But with God, it's different. His words obey his will. In other words, when God speaks it, his words do it. What an awesome God is that, for his words to hear his will and bring about his will. A God like that, we couldn't afford that quality because we're too loose with our words.
Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine if everything you said you wanted happened? Now, some of you are saying, oh, I wish that was the case. That's because you're thinking of things that you are that are favorable. But there are people that wouldn't be here if your words obeyed your will. And some of those people you'd be regret dispensing of. But God can't say anything he really doesn't want to come to pass, because his word and his will have such congruency that if God doesn't mean it, he can't say it. Because when he says it, it's just as good as done. How is this demonstrated in the Genesis story? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved along the face of the water. And God said, watch this. God said, let there be light. And the next part says, and there was. It means God's let there be became and there was. Whenever God said let there be, there was. There was no discussion. There was no argument. There was no debate. There were no questions asked. There was no consultation. When God said it, it happened. When God said let there be and there was not far behind. This means that God's creation was so out of nothing that he literally or figuratively or anthropomorphically grabbed a handful of nothing from a pool of nowhere and sanctified stuff came out of it. This is the God we serve, who before you celebrate him as being good, you need to celebrate him as being a creator. Yet when it comes to Adam, the word for create is not there. It's a different kind of word, even though God did create Adam. The Bible says that that word is not quite the same word. It's the word form. Everybody say form. To form means that that God went through the congealing of dust and moisture to form clay. It means that God gave Adam shape, that Adam had mass, he had volume, he had substance, he had weight, he had depth, he had width. He had all of the shape and the form and the fashion. He was a body. He was a fully developed body. God gathered dust and shaped arms and then got detailed with it like a Michelangelo painting and put fingers and separations between the hands so that the hand was just not one big mass. There were fingers, and he shaped the neck and shaped the jawbone, and he made a split between the bottom part to create two instruments, two organs called legs. He shaped and congealed them, and he had form and he had fashion, but he was dead. Man was formed dead. There he lay as a pile, but not a person. This meant that he had a brain but couldn't think. He had a heart without a rhythm. He had muscles that had no movement. He had arteries and veins and capillaries and vessels. And he had blood that did not begin its journey throughout his body. There was an essential missing ingredient, all saturated in verse number 7 of Genesis chapter 2, which merely simply says, then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground. And if it stopped there, we wouldn't be here today. Amen. So there's this form, but there's a missing ingredient. And the missing ingredient was at the next part of the verse. It says, and breathed. Everybody say breathed. Into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living person. Adam, in just an exhale of God, went from a pile to a person, from a heap to a character. Maybe because it wasn't God's will that Adam stay a pile. Maybe because it wasn't God's will that Adam just be a heap. That Adam just be a form, a shape, a fashion, hips and legs and knees and neck and head and arms and fingers. It wasn't God's will that he just be a pile. And it isn't God's will today that we just be piles. Breath, otherwise translated as spirit, God breathed into his nostrils. God placed into man what man would keep going through a repetition of inhales and exhales. In other words, if man was going to be a living soul, man had to keep what God put in him. I said, if man was going to be a living soul, man had to keep what everything I'm saying is building to the practical, but we're going to be educated first. If man was going to remain a living person, he would only be able to do it by keeping what God initially put in him. As soon as what God put in him ceases to be, he becomes what he started out as. And what was that? A pile. So God took something that only had form and breath in it and gave form some function. He gave dirt some duty. He gave clay the power to care. And the partnership between God's breath and man's body began the pilgrimage of man from going from a pile without purpose to a person with purpose. Life had to breathe into life and breathe into dirt so that dead dirt could have new life and dead dirt could hear the living God and become the animation of his will. Everybody say animation of his will. I want you to listen. Too many times we're ready to shout, but listen first. God breathed into Adam so that Adam will become the animation of the will of God. The animation. In other words, God did not want Adam to be a cover page. God didn't want Adam to be a profile pic. God wanted Adam to be a moving, living, breathing, animated person who had the power to discern and decipher. He never intended Adam to be a picture or a photograph. He wanted Adam to be a video in motion. And not only that, but he wanted Adam to become the animation of his will so that God would put his word in man so that whatever his word did before man existed, man would do when his word is in him. What did God's word do before man existed? God's words said, "Let there be light." And there was. And now God chooses man to animate whatever God's will is. If this is true, and it is, then this means that when man only had form without the divine breath of God, then he was formed dead. Not because he died, but because he never lived. God has this way in creation of starting out with things on the dark end and moving from dark to light. Amen. We, in our humanistic way of thinking, want to start on the good side and stay there. But if you look at creation, the day didn't start with the morning. Day started with the evening. As a matter of fact, if you look through Genesis chapter 1, every time God created something, it would say the evening and the morning were the first day. Even with our creation, the creation of man, man didn't start out living. He started out dead. Because there is no distinction between living and dead sometimes when you start out living. But there had to be such a drastic difference between who Adam was before the breath of God and who Adam was after the breath of God. As a matter of fact, Satan had been watching all along. somebody said this is the first CPR that was ever performed. But that's false. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation is what CPR stands for. Resuscitation is to bring life again. It could not have been the first CPR because Adam was formed dead, and CPR suggests that they had life and they were breathed life into. But no, Adam didn't have life to begin with. This was not CPR. How do you know? Because Adam had nothing but form, and God breathed into Adam. And when God breathed into his nostrils, worthlessness became worth something. Insignificance became significant. Relevance became irrelevant. Became irrelevant, and purposelessness became purposefulness. God triggered off something that would keep Adam going. God breathed into man. And I know you're used to me running all around the congregation, but I think for this last sermon of the year, we need to listen. We need to ingest this. Because while God breathed into man and moved him from a pile of dirt, a pile without purpose, the devil watched. And it was the devil's goal for man to get back where he started. And so the devil introduces sin to Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve mess up, guess what? The devil is successful, because man started as a pile of dirt, insignificant, just a form, just a fashion, nothing spectacular, just laying there, just laid there with all of this potential sitting there. And the devil was successful, because in Genesis 3:19, after Adam and Eve sinned, God declared, "Listen, from dust you are. And to dust you shall return." But that's not enough for the devil. He was successful in causing man to fall, so that man end up where he started, a pile without purpose, a pitiful pile, a heap of hopelessness, a heap of helplessness, just a pile, a form, a fashion. And now Satan has been trying ever since then to get that same reality to happen in our spirit, like he had it to happen in body. You see, when we all die, we will return back to that heap of hopelessness, to that insignificant pile. But the devil wants now to not just do it in body, but he wants you to be that way in spirit. It's not enough that when you die, you return to dust. The devil wants you to be just a form now. Because a pile of dirt is not intimidating to the devil. A walking heap of hopelessness is no threat to the devil. And so God, through the portals of time, sends Jesus, as we talked about last week, who was born not only of flesh, but he was born of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus begins his ministry, and in John chapter 20 and verse number 22, we see something peculiar happening. Everybody go there, turn there, turn there, turn there, turn there, turn there, turn there, be educated, turn there. Follow this, follow this. And I'm up here because our mics are not the best. That's the other reason. Plus, I can see all of you and look all of you in your eyeball. Amen. Start with verse 19 of John chapter 20. I want to show you something.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders.
Okay, this is after Jesus got up out of the grave. What happened?
Jesus came and stood among them and said.
Jesus came and stood among them and said what?
Peace be with you.
Peace be unto you. Now, I need you to see this. This is beautiful. What's beautiful about it is they're standing there. They're sitting there in the room with the door shut. It doesn't say Jesus knocks on the door. He just comes through the door. He doesn't grab the doorknob. Isn't it good when Jesus can show up in the locked places of our lives? Jesus doesn't need to turn the knob. He doesn't have to ask our permission. I'm so glad there were times in my life where Jesus invaded, because God knows there were times in my life where I had the door locked to him. But every now and then God will come through the door. He'll say, my child is in there. My follower is in there. I know he's acting outside of character, but aren't you glad that there? And God will use people to do the same thing. We call it minding other people's business, but sometimes God has set an appointment where somebody just ends up in your business without holding the doorknob or knocking on the door. Maybe it's God trying to get into places that we have locked him out of. He shows up. And the Bible says what?
He showed them his hands and side.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Read.
Again, Jesus said.
Jesus said what?
Peace be with you.
Peace be unto you. Peace be with you. Read.
As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
I'm sending you. Now watch what he does. Read.
And with that, he breathed on them.
He says, now guess what? You are formed right now. Peace be unto you. You're not what you're going to be. Right now, you're a bunch of disciples, and you follow me for 3 years. Right now, you don't even have the power to animate my will. Because that's what it's about. God breathed into Adam so that Adam would become the animation of the will of God. And Jesus had disciples for 3 years. But Jesus had a will, but they could not animate the will. So guess what Jesus does? He does something peculiar, yet it's reminiscent of what we see in Genesis 2:7. The Bible says that Jesus does what?
Breathe on them.
He breathes on them. He does the same gesture that God does for Adam. And he tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. Then in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, you say, I thought this was talking about living beyond mere existence. Yes, but I don't want, let me share something with you, Mountain View. One of the greatest fears I have is becoming a social preacher. And I watch hard against it. A social preacher gets up and talks about relevant things, but people miss Jesus. So people learn how to communicate better, but but Jesus is not Lord in their life. They're fascinated with tools on how to deal in relationships, but they lose their fascination with God. If I stand up here and give you all the practical stuff, then you'll be fascinated with the practical stuff. You'll be able to take notes and put it on your refrigerator and make posts out of it. But at the end of the day, wisdom without Jesus is still foolishness. And so the people of God must be educated and hitch all practical things onto God's purpose. So watch this. Jesus had these disciples. And he tells them something in Luke chapter 24, verse number 49. What does he say?
And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power
tells
from on
them,
high.
He tells them, which mic is good? He tells them, can you hear me? He tells them, look, okay, I've breathed on you, but it's not time for you to move. You are a form. And now why didn't they move right away? Why didn't he say tarry in the city of Jerusalem? Because there was still one more that would be added to them. Can't you remember? There were originally 12, but one of them messed up. The son of perdition, Judas, messed up. And the plan was for there to be 12. There was a pattern that God started in the Old Testament. It wasn't a coincidence that there were 12 tribes of Israel. It wasn't a coincidence that those 12 tribes represented 12 nations. And it wasn't a coincidence that the 12 tribes in the Old Testament represented 12 nations. And Jesus happened to put 12 guys, one of which messed up. So it was almost as if Jesus formed them, but they lost a limb. So Jesus basically says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Now you stay there. Don't get up. You don't have the power to get up. Because what was going to happen in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1 is they would replace the one who betrayed Jesus. And they would replace Judas with Matthias rather, who would take Judas's place. And the Bible says that when you get to Jerusalem, wait there. Because it's dangerous to try to operate as a form if you don't have the breath of God. It's dangerous to try to operate as a form, as a fashion, as a dead man when God didn't give you life. So he tells this group of disciples, wait in the city of Jerusalem till what? Read.
Until you are clothed with the power from on high.
Now wait till you get some power. What was the power? The Spirit. God would breathe on them. His Holy Spirit. Thus we get to Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says they were all in one accord in one place. In Acts chapter 2, beginning verse number 1. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It fills the house where they were sitting. And now these men who were just a form, they were just a group. They were without purpose. They were without spirit. They were without animation. God sends his Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, they start to animate the will of God. Form starts functioning. The pile starts having purpose. Dirt starts getting duty, and they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. Well, what's the practical application, preacher? I'm listening to you and I'm waiting for it. Here's the practical application. In 2017, some of us have been walking piles. Some of us have been heaps of hopelessness and helplessness. I get it. I'm not here to accuse you. I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying what is. Some of us in 2017 has been walking around just a pitiful pile. A pile of what? Some of us have been a pile of broken promises. We have been walking about in 2017 being a heap of hopeless endeavors. Some of us have a list of things that we said we were going to do, a list of goals that we said we would do. And guess when we set them? We set them at the beginning of 2017. We've got form. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Let me tell you something. God doesn't want us to just be piles. He came to breathe into us so that we can breathe again. And some of us lost that and let life asphyxiate us and let life suffocate us. We lost the car. We lost the job. We lost the loved one. Some of us got married and left God. Some of us got divorced and left God. Some of us just started operating mechanically. Watch this. We come to church but hadn't worshiped in a long time. Because enjoying the singing and worshiping God are not the same thing. We have just been operating like a shell. As a matter of fact, we get a sense of dutifulness whenever we come to church and whenever we blurt out a few spiritual things. But the reality is, deep in our lives, the circumstances and predicaments of our lives have us in a place where we have all of this form, but we don't have animation. In other words, we're moving, but we're not making progress in our lives. And we can quote scripture, and we can come to church, and we can enjoy the singing, and we have to be careful even in our worship that the praise leaders are not singing for you. Otherwise, we might as well be singing to a heap, singing to a pile. And what are some of those piles in 2017? Some of us are a pile of pitiful situations. We walk around blaming what happened in our childhood for why we're not performing, for why we're not being productive. Some of us are still talking about what happened 3 years ago, what happened 5 years ago. Some of you, if you didn't talk about your enemies, you wouldn't have anything to talk about. Just form. So much form that even worship becomes detached from spirit. What do you mean? Sometimes I dread that we got individualized cups. Because some people take them as a just in case. Just in case I make it and service is over. And so watch this. You end up with this form, but no spirit. The body and the bread has become crackers and juice. Then you take that into your life and you have all of this form and you're just going through the routine of living and you get tired and you get laden down. Watch this. You get tired of being tired. There's a thing called mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And we're all familiar with that. Drowned victims get it. They're administered mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The thing about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is it's not a cure. It's a temporary provision. In other words, you can be brought back through mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, but you can't live on it. And some of us have been so form without function, pile without purpose, that Sunday is about coming to get a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Singing. Because we have no spirit during the week. We have no spirit and we're not breathing during the week. We're suffocated during the week. So we get here on Sunday and the singing better be right and the preaching better be right. And we're not participants, we're spectators. Laid out on the dust, waiting for the singing to blow into us. Waiting for the praise leaders to sing the right song to blow into us. Waiting for the preacher to make the right point to blow into us. Our young people are like that. Some of our young people are so disconnected from the will of God that church becomes someplace to go and not someone to be. This has marked 2017 for so many of us. And whenever you're like that with God, he won't allow you to have qualities he gives to be successful with man, and yet you're neglectful with God. In other words, if the qualities you should have with God, you don't have, he'll cause them to falter with man. In other words, your lack of commitment to God, if you can't breathe in God, you start taking that thing into the workplace and you start taking that thing into the schoolhouse and you have all of this form, but you have no power. Your relationships end up a pile of dead relationships. 2017 for some of us have been a pile of dead relationships. And I'm not talking about love relationships just as simply. I'm not talking about boyfriend and girlfriend, boo thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relationships. You connect to dead relationships. You got dusty relationships. They don't go anywhere. They're just fun to be around. They provide temporary entertainment. You don't have any relationships that bring value to your life. No relationship that have a sustaining value. As a matter of fact, when you're just a pile, you cannot connect with people on a certain level. Watch this. You end up with less spiritual-minded friends than you do carnal friends, because guess what? The living and the dead have nothing in common. And you're just a pile. Some of us in 2017 have been a pile of unachieved goals. Some of us aren't finishers. And we just have the form of completion. These are those who can have a good meeting, who can sit and have a good conversation, who can make good comments in Bible class, who can talk about what they need to do. These are those who ask for prayers that God do things in their life that they're not willing to partner with God on. In other words, praying that you have more faith does not work like where God is just going to give it to you. When God breathes into you, you have a responsibility. When God blew into Adam, guess what Adam had to do? Adam had to take in what God was putting out. And some of us, God has been breathing on us and he's been giving us the word. We've been getting the word Sunday in and Sunday out. Sometimes we get it on Wednesday night when we decide, and if we decide to come or study at home. But it's not how much word you're getting, it's about how much word you're receiving. Because if God blew into Adam, but Adam didn't keep what God put in him going, then Adam would have soon been asphyxiated by his own doing and not the doing of God. God is saying, I don't want you to come to church. I don't want you to be a form. I want you to breathe again. You let life clutter you in, and you let life put its hands around your neck.
Man, you're on a relentless journey on an insatiable and with an insatiable appetite to get the latest definition of success to show up in your life. All of us started like this in Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. 2018 is the year for you to breathe again. Turn to somebody and say, breathe again. You used to have a fire for the Lord that you don't have anymore. Breathe again. You used to pray like you meant it, like you believed something would happen. Breathe again. As a matter of fact, the situation that you have been reduced to just complaining about, you used to pray about it. And you had so much peace then, but life has gotten you cluttered. And now you need to breathe again. You are just existing. You just have a form of existence, meaning, yeah, you're working, you're making money. But after you gauge your money and count your money and gauge your career, what do you have left? What are you doing for God? Only what you do for God is going to take you beyond this life. Or have you become one of those who has slowly began to go back to the dust from whence you came from spiritually? Ephesians 2 says what?
And when you were dead in your trespasses and sins.
Look what God says. All of us had the conversion process and all of us started dead. He says you were dead. He didn't say you weren't here. He did not say you didn't exist. He says you were dead. You existed, but you existed without power. You live without power. You move, but you move without power. You made decisions, but they were decisions that were unhitched from my glory. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. But he says, you have he what?
In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world.
Read.
According to the prince of power in the air.
Read.
Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience.
Read.
Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh.
Paul is saying all of us have been there. All of us have been formed just piles of purposelessness. Some of you have been chasing your spiritual gift and you've taken this test and that test and that test. And some of you who don't know the Lord are trying to be successful without the Lord. Here's the thing. God never says, watch this, the Bible never says you will never be successful in this world. There are a lot of people successful in this world. You're making what you want to make, and you're trying to climb up the corporate ladder, and you're trying to get your education, and you're trying to get promoted, and you're trying to get the raise. And there are a lot of Christians consumed with dead things. How do you know they're dead things? Because one thing about dead things is they can't reproduce. Amen. Dead things do not reproduce. They don't have the capacity to reproduce. So you find you have a bunch of things in your life that cannot reproduce anything good in your life. And all of us were there. Read.
Among them, we too formerly lived in lust of our flesh,
you
including
lived
the
in
desires.
The lust of your flesh. Read.
Desires of the flesh.
Read.
And of the mind.
And of the mind. Read.
And we were by nature children
and
of wrath.
And we were by nature children of wrath. Read.
Even as the rest.
Read.
But God.
But God.
Being rich in mercy.
Being rich in mercy.
Because of his great love.
Because of his great love.
With which he loved us.
Read.
Even when we were dead.
Even when we were dead.
In our transgressions.
In our transgressions.
Made us alive together.
He breathed in us. And he made us alive. Now remember the original text, Genesis chapter 2. In order for Adam to stay alive, he had to keep what God gave him. And in 2017, the devil's been trying to take what God gave you. He's been trying to take out of you what God put in you. For some of you, God put the spirit of forgiveness in you. So the devil throws all kinds of things your way that are difficult to forgive. Why? Because that spirit is the way you breathe. It's the way you live. It's the way you inhale and exhale to God. And the devil wants to take out of you the very thing that keeps you alive in God. Because God in his mercy has given us life. How many of you pray like you used to? Let me rephrase that question. How many of you pray more than you used to? because of your use to is prayerless, then you are a walking prayerless pile. What are you a pile of? What are you a heap of? You're a heap of holding on to grudges. You can't breathe. You can't breathe. Now watch this. You can sing. You can say good service, but even your worship is angry. A heap of selfishness. You operate. You have form. But watch this. Even your worship is selfish. Because you can take dead things into a living temple. As a matter of fact, they did it all the time. It was called a sacrifice. It was never meant to stay there. It was only meant to come into the temple and be burned up and be offered to God. And I'm here to tell you in 2018, God is calling you to live beyond mere existence. But you have to stay in his word. Now, go to 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the last text. You have to see this. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. God, turn to somebody and say, breathe again. But you can't breathe again until you receive the breath of God, until you receive the breath of life. Let me show you something. We know this scripture, but I want to remind you of a little detail that's in this scripture. In this scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says what?
All scripture is God breathed.
Watch this. All scripture is what?
God breathed.
Is what? God breathed. So when I say that God breathed, and Paul now is telling you what the breath of God is. If you want to know what comes from the breath of God, he says all scripture is God breathed. So the first step to breathing again is you've got to receive the word. You can't be one of those people that just want to hear about the word. You've got to receive the word. In other words, you're just going to be a motionless pile of pity and a hopeless heap of helplessness unless you start believing what God says. But if you don't hear what God says, you can't believe what God says. All scripture is God breathed. Another translation says, given by the inspiration of God. Inspiration means to be God breathed. In other words, God is calling you to be alive through his word. It's profitable for doctrine, correction, instruction, and knowledge that the man of God may be perfectly furnished for all good works. You will not be animated if you're not breathing. God is telling some of you who hear it and don't keep it, he's saying, breathe again. You've been a pile too long. I never designed you to stay with just the form. Breathe again. Breathe again. How do I breathe, Lord? How do I breathe? When you hear my word, inhale. Breathe again. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Breathe again. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Breathe again. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Breathe again. Oh, if God be for you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Breathe again. Somebody said they got haters. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And breathe again. Breathe again. I am the bread of life. Breathe again. I am the living water. Breathe again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Breathe again. I am the resurrection and the life. Breathe again, Justin. Breathe again, Justin. You've been a pile too long. You've been helpless too long. You've been pitiful too long. You've been a form too long. Breathe again. Breathe again. Breathe again. Let go of those grudges. Let go of those pains. Let go of your past. Breathe again. And that's just an object lesson of how some of us look in Christ. Just laid out. No breath. I got to tell you this before we close. Breathing is a partnership. It's a reciprocal partnership. Scientifically, when we inhale, we take in oxygen.
Yeah.
That's the breath of life.
Yeah. Amen.
Which benefits us. When we exhale, we emit something called carbon dioxide. What's unique about carbon dioxide is carbon dioxide is bad for us, but good for the environment. So what we need, we inhale. How we help others, we exhale. You know you're not breathing in God if nobody around you is helped because of your inhale and exhale in God. You cannot be a help to anybody else. If being around you makes me worse, you sucking up all the air. And soon the very oxygen that is converted to carbon dioxide, which is poison, what was designed to give you life unshared will kill you. What was designed to give you life unshared. Now let me tell you how powerful God is. God is. Woo. What God did is he created the world in such a way to where everything Adam gave carbon dioxide to would take in the carbon dioxide and give Adam oxygen. You do know that plants receive carbon dioxide and they emit oxygen. So what happens is when you breathe in God, people around you are benefited by your exhale. They inhale your exhale and God moves in them and they exhale and you inhale and they exhale and you inhale and they inhale and you exhale. So you begin to bless everybody around you and God will make it to where those around you will bless you. Why do you think the Bible says give and it shall be given unto you? Breathe and it shall be breathed on you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give to your bosom. But when you do not breathe, and if you cannot breathe, not only can you receive help, but you're not a help to anybody around you. So this altar call today is for some of you who have been walking piles of whatever. 17 piles of broken promises. Heaps of unfulfilled dreams, unfinished projects. You just can't finish anything. You talk about it. You can't. Some of you are piles of grudges and bitterness. Just form. Oh, if you can just breathe. If you can just breathe. And God is saying, breathe again. Breathe again. I want you to have life. And I want you to have it more abundantly. But what I'm giving to you, you have to receive it. You have to receive it. And I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever, now this is me, and everybody may not relate to it, but when I had the trainer, Romello, when I was on dialysis and trying to get prepared for kidney transplant, one of the things the trainer would do when I was working out and I was pumping, and I'm still working out and I'm still fine. But if you disagree, you need to breathe again. But one thing he would tell me to do is he says, when you pushing this weight up, you gotta breathe. And watch this. I said to myself at first, what are you talking about? I am breathing. But what was happening was, at the height, at the point of the greatest hardship pushing the weight, something happened in me. And I stopped breathing because I felt like I needed to hold it in to push it out. God is telling us when the weight of the world is on your shoulder, that is not the time for you to stop breathing. think by holding it in, you can push it out. But God is telling you, breathe. Because if you can push it out here, you can push it out there. If you can breathe while you're doing it, the very thing you're depriving yourself of is the reason why you can't push it out. And some of you stop breathing when life gets difficult. You don't show up. You don't hear the word. You don't receive the word. You can't receive the word. You can't be a participant in worship. You can't. You don't want to hear about things. As a matter of fact, spiritual encouragement seems so unrealistically optimistic. That's because whatever you're carrying is causing you to cut off your receiving what God has, and you're getting rid of what you don't need. And in 2018, I dare you to breathe. I dare you to take in what God has for you and get rid of what's killing you. I didn't say who, what. Because if you get rid of the what, you can handle whatever who you have to handle. See, the problem is not that there are bad people simply in your life. That's not the problem. Let's stop playing the victim. The problem is not, yeah, this person is my life and this person is leading me astray. No, that's not the problem. The problem is what you are allowing, not what they're doing. And what do you mean that what you are allowing? I'm saying that if you can regain the fragrance and aroma that God gave to you, as a rose can be in the middle of a bunch of stink weed and still smell like a rose, you can deal with whoever it is and still be who God has called you to be, the very animation of the will of God. So it's altar time. Some of you have been lifeless forms, and it's time for you to breathe again. What happened? What happened in 2017 that got you to stop breathing? You don't pray. Don't you know the last thing that Jesus did before he hung his head in the laps of his shoulder is he gave up the ghost, leaving the world what the world needed to be saved. Because it was the last breath that constituted the death of Christ. It was the nails and the whips that constituted his blood. And that's how he gave his life. And when he emitted that last breath, he sealed the deal of our redemption. Now God is saying, breathe. I know it's been a hard year for you. I know you lost jobs. I know you didn't know how ends were going to meet. But God is saying, stop looking at what you don't have and look at who you have. Look at who you have. I know for a fact some of you didn't know what you were going to do at certain points this year. You didn't have the answer. But the key is not in having the answer. The key is the answer having you. And Jesus is the answer. Amen. So if you hear and you need to breathe again.